40 days. Between now and Easter, excluding the Sundays, we have 40 days in Lent to prepare. The number 40 is significant in Scripture. Many believe that it represents a significant change. As in 40 days or 40 years, that's a significant enough time for some fundamental change to occur. When Noah built the ark, the rains came for 40 days and 40 nights. When the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, they did so for 40 years. 40 days was how long Jonah warned Nineveh they had to repent before they were to be overthrown. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted for 40 days. Lent's sister season of Advent, which in many faith traditions also lasts 40 days, and Advent is another season of preparation. Where in Advent we align ourselves with God's people who were waiting for the coming Messiah, we too prepare our hearts for the one who is to come. And in a beautifully poetic way, in our pocket of the world here in North America, the days get shorter and shorter throughout Advent. As each week we light that candle throughout the Advent season in the impending darkness, and we declare the truth that the light of the world has come and will come again. And yet, here we are, about to embark on this season of Lent, and the days are getting a little bit longer as we turn into the seasons of spring and summer. And in fact, the etymology of the word Lent, meaning where this word comes from, finds its root in the idea of spring, of lengthening. Lent is a bend toward hope as we lift our eyes to Christ and intentionally realign our hearts with his. And that realignment will require repentance. As author and theologian Esau Macaulay writes, Lent is inescapably about repenting. Repentance is a change in direction, a spirit-empowered turning around. Repentance, then, is the first step we make toward God. But to turn toward God, we must turn away from something else, and that something else is our sin. When John the Baptist went out before Jesus in Luke chapter 3, he was the voice calling in the wilderness, and that voice was calling people to repentance. He called out the Jewish people for resting on their laurels of their lineage of their faith, thinking that simply saying, "We have Abraham as our father," that would be sufficient. They were also so focused on following the letter of the law that their hearts were so far from God. Instead, John told them to produce fruit in keeping with repentance, meaning their lives should reflect a heart that is closely aligned with God. The message that John preached stirred something within those people, and they asked John, "What should we do then? What should we do?" And the responses we read from John were consistently about treating people fairly, sharing resources, sharing food with those who are without, and being content with what one has. Countercultural messages that are in alignment with God's heart of justice and generosity and love. What I would suggest to you we see in this passage is that the necessary preparation for following Christ first requires repentance, turning away from selfishness and sin, turning away from thinking of oneself as so important, turning away from whatever has become that barrier between us and God. And we turn away from that, and we turn to God. And then we do different things. We choose to participate in different practices, practices that put us in alignment with Christ, and that will demonstrate the fruit of that repentance, the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Not to be showy or to perform our righteousness, like the Matthew passage that Mary read for us tonight, but to simply live in alignment with who Christ is. And as we live in that alignment, our lives will reflect different fruit. There are a number of practices that are emphasized through this season of Lent as a way to prepare and align our hearts with who Christ is. Prayer is a big one, for example, a practice that you might choose to focus on through this season of Lent. Although we know we can always pray, and Thessalonians reminds us that we should pray without ceasing, many choose to spend some focused time on prayer during Lent as an opportunity to deepen one's relationship with God, to really listen to the Holy Spirit. Often we think of prayer as just us talking. Maybe it's an opportunity now to listen and to align our prayer life with Christ's heart. You might choose to add a morning or evening prayer to your prayer practice, or pick an app on your phone that helps you engage with prayer in a different way. I have suggestions if you would like them. Fasting is another practice one might choose to focus on during Lent. You might choose to fast a day a week throughout the season, or to fast from certain foods. The practice of fasting was once more regularly practiced by followers of Christ, has fallen a bit to the wayside in terms of popularity in Christian practice today, especially in North America. Yet we read in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus basically assumes that his followers will fast. And of course, Jesus participated in that practice, and we like to do those things that Jesus did. It is a practice that is incredibly humbling, and it creates this opportunity to rely on God for sustenance and strength in a way that we might not do if we were incredibly well fed. Fasting also reminds us to hunger first for God rather than anything else in the world. Another practice one might choose to focus on through Lent is giving. This practice is rooted, of course, in the generous gift we have of Christ himself, that he gave of himself so fully that we are to be generous and do likewise. Like fasting, the giving of our finances and resources allows us an opportunity to rely on God in a way that we might not if we lived in such abundance. If we were fully satisfied, we might feel that we don't really need Christ in the way that we actually truly do. Giving reminds us that our truest source of life and satisfaction is Jesus Christ, not in the things we have. Additionally, we're called to care for the poor, care for the hungry and the marginalized, and Lent is a good opportunity to realign our finances and our resources to reflect God's heart for all people. Let us hold our money and our resources, our things, with an open hand, remembering who gave us whatever it is that we have in the first place. Another practice I would suggest that we could focus on is simply spending time in God's Word. As spending time reading and studying Scripture, meditating on God's Word, is again a common practice in Christian life, and yet one that easily gets left behind as we get very busy. Yet when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, his responses to Satan were all rooted in Scripture, direct quotes from Scripture even, as Jesus knew God's word. If we want to know God's heart, it is written for us and available for us to study, to meditate on, right there if we choose to take the time to do it. Along with some of the practices that we might add, there are other practices we might choose to give up. Kind of in the same vein as fasting, where we give up food, we might choose to give up something else for something that has maybe been a barrier in our relationship with God. For example, some may choose to get off social media through Lent. Instead, spending that time you ordinarily would spend on social media, now focusing on the Lord instead. You might choose to give up spending time watching television. Give up something else as a way to show devotion to the Lord instead, to realign our hearts with God's heart with that time, with that thing, whatever it may be. Now, these are not exhaustive practices, to be sure. There are many more that we could talk about. And how we each choose to pray, to give, to read Scripture, what we choose to give up, all of this will look different from one person to another. But we have 40 days. 40 days to prepare for the celebration that will happen on Easter Sunday, when we will gather and we will worship our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I would suggest to you that the celebration will be all the richer if we take the time for repentance and for practices, First, to repent from our sin and our selfishness, to allow for that change in direction and for the Holy Spirit to empower that turning around so we are turned back toward God. And then to engage in those intentional practices, practices like prayer, fasting, reading scripture, or giving generously, practices like choosing to go without something that ordinarily is a distraction from our relationship with God. Whatever practice you may choose, may we intentionally engage in practices that enable us to live more in alignment with Christ, with God's heart, this season. I pray that each and every one of us may, as John the Baptist said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And that each of us may experience anew the presence of God, who knows you and loves you and longs to be with you. I pray that through repentance and some intentional practices, we may be aware of who he is that is already at work within us, and that we may dwell with him and rest in his love. Let us embark on these 40 days together. Now I'm going to read from the Book of Common Prayer, an invitation to the observance of Lenten discipleship. It will be up here for you to read as well. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of a Holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, and to make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. Amen.